Oh, yes, it's game day coming up. Not Phil Collins. Peyton Collins will make the start at left tackle for the Saskatchewan Rough Riders tonight at Mosaic Stadium because of an injury. Tate moves to left guard. Brammer's out. Peyton Collins at left tackle. Zach Fry flips over to right guard. Logan Ferland in the middle. There's only one player on the offensive line who's in the position that he started training camp in. That is Jermarcus Hardrick, the right tackle, the cagey vet. So he's in his spot. Everybody else is shuffled around.
Should we be concerned,
Jamie? Fine.
Okay.
2 years ago, batten down the hatches. Look out, Trevor Harris. This, after last year, they had all those changes, and they didn't really miss a beat. So I'm a lot more confident this group's going to do it this year.
Okay.
Despite the injuries along the offensive line. Of course, 5 o'clock is the launch of the Green Zone pregame show. But let's get back to last night in Edmonton. What a game. And to help us break it down is Tom Gazzola from Edmonton Sports Talk with drama in game one.
McDavid, in front, scores! Leon Draisaitl, game one hero!
How big of a pop was it in Edmonton last night when that goes in, Tom?
Well, the whole city erupted in glee and joy. Like, that was insane. I mean, great game, first of all. I'll start there. Two juggernauts ready and built for the Stanley Cup, getting their shot at one another again. And then the vibe around the city, guys, like, you guys know Edmonton and you know how much they bleed orange and blue, but now it's just elevated to this whole different level. And there's like a quiet confidence in this city compared to last year, where it was like, oh gosh, here we are. We're in the Stanley Cup final type of mentality. Now there's like an expectation and a confidence. And throughout that game, crowd was good in the building, crowd outside and the various parties was really good. People's cars were honking all day long. You're watching business people and business on the bottom, party on the top with their Oilers tarps. And it was funny. I'll sum it up like this. It's like 11 a.m. and I'm walking to and from the arena. And in the plaza, you've got guys that are like literally cleaning the blood, sweat, tears, and alcohol off of the surface of the mosh pit. And people just like sitting right beside them on the benches, taking it all in, getting splashed by like disgusting water, and they just want to be there and feel the moment and the essence. It's just it's a good vibe, and I you can catch me dead there sitting getting soaked by a pressure washer in the mosh pit. But that's kind of where it's at. Like, they just want to feel and taste a bit of it, right?
That quiet confidence that the Oilers have on the ice seems to have made its way to the fans as well. The Panthers won the first two periods, and then, you know, a quick and dirty sort of an analysis of the game, the third and overtime obviously going to Edmonton. But this Edmonton squad just doesn't seem to panic on the ice. You're picking up on that.
100%. And then, yeah, it is permeating to the fan base. I mean, even the third period where they only gave up two shots, I know it was 10-6 in OT and it was closer, but there doesn't seem to be worry as much as there has been in years past on the ice within the group. I mean, they've lost to the last three Stanley Cup champions. I mean, there aren't really any more lessons to be learned for this group. They've kind of done it all, and the fan base has been hitched to their wagon the whole time. And so, yeah, that experience is kind of ringing true and through this entire postseason. And the other thing, too, what they did against Dallas in third periods. I mean, so many games, I think three of the last four against the Stars, they held them to like four shots and sub-double-digit shots, and they just seem to find a way in the final frame of games. And to do that to the Florida Panthers, guys, like, it's impressive. I was surprised, especially after how good of a second period Florida had with that push, and Stu Skinner had to have a couple of really strong sequences. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it just they bend, but they haven't really broken all that experience. It's finally, you know, from an Oilers standpoint, it's kind of kicking in, and they're putting it to good use, it seems like.
Tom Gazzola, Edmonton Sports Talk here on the Green Zone as we get set for tomorrow's game two. Of course, is I'm watching the game last night, and I'm wondering how, like, looking back at the last three series before this one, and trying to see what's going to happen in this series. Do the Oilers just run teams out of gas? The way they, how hard they skate, how fast they are, like that first series, the second, it just seems like they just, and how are the Panthers possibly going to counter that, Tom?
Yeah, no, that's a good question. It's funny because in overtime, I mean, if you look at that penalty, the puck over glass, no stick penalty, is that not a tired penalty where maybe you're not as dialed in and it's late in the first overtime? Yeah. It's been a battle all night long. And I'm surprised, you could kind of call it a new element of this Oilers team and how they can kind of ground and pound the opposition, doesn't matter who they're facing. Because I'll tell you guys this, when the Panthers came to town in mid-December, they beat the living snot out of the Oilers all up and down the ice. Like, mm-hmm. in the defensive zone, the Oilers were getting destroyed. The D-men were looking over their shoulder. They didn't have that extra second. And then it was a closer battle in February. And then we all thought to ourselves, boy, this Oilers team at times can be soft. But all of a sudden now, they have bigger bodies. There's no Kyler Yamamoto's in the lineup anymore. The small guys are just average size. And really, they can endure the physicality of pretty much any opponent.
And they give it back.
I think, yeah, exactly. And they did that to Vegas. And my co-host on weekends, Sean Bell, he calls the Golden Knights defensemen sequoias. And the Oilers were all over those guys in the second round. And they wore them down. And you know, a little bit different against the Stars, even though Edmonton was pretty persistent. And then yesterday, we were like, okay, this is the big test, because Florida's MO is they play like a bunch of jerks, and they will be all over you, and they are big, and they're tough, and they're built for this type of series. And I think the Oilers withstood that test and then some. So it is a new element to this team, and it's surprising. And yeah, I mean, if you would have said, do the Oilers wear teams out? I would have said, no, not really. I mean, they want to skate with the wind and fly up and down the ice. But now they have that element to their game, which is a nice dynamic to have.
Tom Gazzola joining us, Edmonton Sports Talk, and a new gig for Tom, full-time sideline for CFL on TSN in Edmonton, Calgary. You'll see him on the telly this weekend. We'll talk some CFL, but more on Game 1 with the Oilers and Panthers next with Tom Gazzola on 980 CJME and 650 CKOM. We continue our conversation with Tom Gazzola, who was doing the post-game work on Edmonton Sports Talk last night after the Oilers Game 1 win in overtime. But first, Tom, Locker wants you to settle a debate.
Quickly, McDavid passing on the tying goal, Kane or Echo?
I called it an area pass last night on the post-game show because we were having that debate. I thought that this is a cop-out I went with. I'm like, he knew he had two guys there. He just had to put it in a spot and hope for the best. So a lot of people were saying it was for Kane. I'll give Connor the benefit of the doubt because of how good he is with his vision, and say, yeah, sure. He probably saw Ekholm there, but I'm assuming he knew that there was one of the two of them would get a piece of it. And, sure enough, it was Ekholm that buried that one. But yeah, the McDavid, assists were phenomenal. I'll even throw for the game winner, Corey Perry's little dish. Because he made that nice little backhanded puck to give McDavid that
Perry doesn't get that on the sideboards without Nuge's work, though.
That's a good point. Nuge on the wall, and the delay and the button hook, and then puts it down low. So it was a good sequence for those guys, because Florida's PK is number one in the postseason, and Edmonton's power play. I mean, they had power plays early in the game. I know there was the sequence as well where there was the penalties, like one after another, and kind of killed off a couple of power play opportunities. But I thought to myself, like, great, they have a power play late in this first overtime period, but let's see how they do going up against Florida's DK, which has been excellent. And yeah, a couple like really clever plays by veteran guys, and then the two best players in the playoffs and Draisaitl and McDavid convert. Like, that was a thing of beauty, especially if you get that low angle shot of it. It's just so nice to watch.
Okay, Tom, as we talked to Tom Gazzola, Edmonton Sports Talk, after the Oilers' overtime winning Game 1, if you're the coaches, do you just say, same as last night, Like, is there much tweaking that needs to be done for either team? Because it was so well played.
Yeah.
I don't think you can really say either team had a bad strategy on how they played each other. So what do you think?
Yeah, if you're Paul Maurice, are you going, boy, we really need to clean stuff up? Like, no. You're not nitpicking. I think if you're them, you just dust yourself off and you go, okay, a little adjustment here, a little adjustment there. If you really want to dive into it, like I thought the Panthers missed the net a bit much. And then that's really getting into the nitty gritty and being a nitpicker with it. So, I mean, if you want to point out one thing from a Panthers point of view, maybe hit the net a little bit more, see what you can get on Stu Skinner, create a little chaos against him. I mean, they had a fantastic second period. I really thought
they
started to take over that game. I know, you know, the first period was, I think Edmonton came out strong in the first half, and then Florida pushed back really good, and then it was all Florida in that second period, and then Edmonton had the solid third period. So maybe some minor adjustments, but roll the dice, guys. Seriously, the way these two teams are playing, that could have been Florida's game just as easily as it was Edmonton's game, and I think we're just going to see these two punch and counterpunch for maybe even the next week and a half. So
yeah. Florida almost won
it. I don't think, yeah.
Florida almost won it three times in the first, you know, 3 minutes of the overtime, right?
Yeah.
Exactly.
Skinner.
Yeah.
The only suggestion I would make is I'd get Woolman in an ice bath.
Boy, like, he's the Peter Griffin, like, you can just see him on the bench, and he could almost put that sequence and that audio to him as he's kind of like shrugging off a stinger a couple of times last night. That's how I looked at it. I'm like, oh,
he took a beating.
To yeah. Yeah. He's, that's Jake Wallman.
All right, Tom. Congratulations, by the way. You're going to see Tom on CFL on TSN a little bit more this year.
Yeah, nice, so, Tom.
Are the Elks going to be any good, or what's going on there?
There's so much hype around the Elks. Just kind of re-embracing the Eskimos with Chris Morris and Ed Hervey, and Chris Morris saying, listen, like, we're honoring the Eskimos. Don't feel dirty saying the name. Like, there was a story tradition, but it is the Elks, and there's a new owner, and the new owner has empowered the staff. They're not scrimping their budget when they had the board and were partially owned by the community. Like, it has breathed new life into the organization, and you're seeing people around the stadium and their offices with a little bit more confidence and pep in their step and trying to get back to being a winning franchise, because it's been a god-awful 5 years. Like, there's no denying that. Lots of talent has been brought in, Canadian talent.
Sure you don't want to add another five to that?
My co-host and our friend Matthew Iwanek, really, he says it's been 2 decades of putrid football. So, but Iwanek's a tough guy to please. So I'm a little bit more positive than that. yeah, exactly. But lots of good Canadians. We'll see what Trey Ford can become. He's got a capable backup in Fajardo, and I know there's questions around the receiving core, and we'll see if they can connect with Trey. And that D line should be great. I know they basically stole Toronto's D line, and bringing back David Beard and Jake Ceresna kind of gets them back to being like the old tradition. Those guys had a little bit of success here, and they understand what it means to be in green and gold. So lots of optimism, lots of new players, you guys. And we all know that it's hard to bring in like 25 new guys, no matter how skilled they are, and turn them into a well oiled machine and championship caliber. Yeah, exactly. So many moving parts, but there is optimism. People want to go back to the stadium, and this, it's a far cry from like really how desolate it had been the last few years.
Well, Tom, best of luck going back and forth and back and forth again on the Alberta Autobahn this week. Can't wait for the CFL season to kick off tonight in Regina, and can't wait for game 2 tomorrow in Edmonton for the Stanley Cup final. Thanks for your time.
It's going to be awesome. Thanks for having me, Jamie. Thanks, Locker.
Jamie and Locker with you here on the Green Zone on this Thursday. It is a game day. The Riders and the Red Blacks. 5 o'clock Green Zone pregame show. Of course, CFL Fantasy, CFL Pick'em back again in the game zone on CFL.ca. I've set up the Green Zone League. You can join it before kickoff if you want to go up against me and some others. Easy to find. Just search for leagues, Green Zone, or find the link on X at Jamie Nye is where you can find that if you want to play along this CFL season on their CFL Fantasy, as well as your weekly predictions with CFL Pick'em. So register now. Join today before kickoff, 7 o'clock, the Riders and the Red Blacks pregame show coming up at 5. Well, Locker, I know our friends across the hall, Z99, C95.
They play that Pink Pony Club a lot. Song.
Yes. But one of our favorites, actually not one of our favorites, our favorite person from the program with all apologies to Rob, of course, not so much Justin and Wheels, might be our new prognosticator here on the Green Zone. Shauna Foster, when talking about the Oilers yesterday, had a feeling that they were going to win.
I predict a 4-3 score.
And she nailed it. Let's call up our new prognosticator.
Let's do it.
Hello?
Is this the smartest
hockey analysis? Is this the Z99 procrastinator? No, wrong. Prognosticator.
Prognosticator. I have a gift.
What did you see? Did you have a crystal ball in your living room that you, like, look at before the Oiler game and go, 4-3, that's what I'm seeing tonight?
No, you know, I had special powers that were passed down to me. I had a dog, and she passed away about 6 years ago. She was really big. Her name was Sassy, and Sassy had an insane ability to predict sports scores. And I believe that when she passed and went to doggy heaven, she put those powers onto me.
Now, Shauna, I know you're a faithful Green Zone listener. I know this of you.
You know me.
You and your husband listen in. You especially. Are you looking, like, do you want it to be the Green Zone with Jamie Locker and Shauna Foster?
Well, I feel we would be a good match because right now with Wheels and Justin, I mean,
you don't need to say anything more.
Have you talked to those two? Did you see what Wheels was wearing on the golf course yesterday? I mean, they need some help, okay?
So last night at the end of the game, Shauna, my wife looks at me. She's a big fan. She listens to you, to Z99 every morning.
Aw.
And she said, oh, my God, I think Shauna predicted the score. I'm like, really? Did she predict overtime, too? She's like, I'm not sure, but I'm pretty sure she said it was going to be Oilers 4, Panthers 3.
So, yeah, in overtime, I called it. I called every bit of that game last night. And, you know, it wasn't just my old dead dog on my shoulder. It was also another voice of reason, my longtime eternal crush, Chad Kroeger of Nickelback. And I don't know if you guys saw, but Chad Kroeger and Nickelback released the most amazing, moving video ever moments before the game last night. And so I just had him in my heart and the band and Sassy and Justin and Wheels and you guys. And, yeah, I nailed it.
I'm telling you, Shauna, we're going to ask you for your prediction. I'm going to ask for two predictions, actually, because I just want to see how deep.
I want to know if you gamble.
Should more. My husband doesn't want me to go to Vegas with him ever. I don't know why.
We don't need to dig into that on the show.
Yeah.
Jeff was so mad at me last night because our little guy Cash, he had football, flag football last night. I made Jeff take him so I could stay home and watch the game. He was so mad at me.
Okay, first prediction, game two. Shauna Foster, what do you got?
Yeah, what have you got?
I am going to go Oilers win. I think it's going to be a high score again. I think it's going to be 5-4. Oilers.
5-4. Okay.
It's not going to be another overtime, is it?
I don't know. I don't feel overtime, but it might be. It might be. I think both of these teams, and Jamie, you said this yourself 2 days ago, they are both better than where they were last year. And you can see it. That was a fast game. It was a thrilling game, but it was also a scary, nerve-wracking game because it's just so close. It's so, so close.
One more prediction, because we're doing this today on the show as well. The Rough Riders season.
Mm-hmm.
Does it end in glory in November with a trophy in Winnipeg?
It ends with happiness because we made it there. I am nervous to say that it ends with the trophy. I think we get to the Grey Cup. I do. I feel that. Right now, I'm a little murky still on the outcome.
Okay, Shauna. All right.
But that's a long time away. You can't throw that on me today.
Well, do you want to do tonight then? Game one? Well, a CFL opener tonight at Mosaic Stadium?
What does the ghost of your dead dog say about tonight's game?
I feel good about tonight. I think it's just going to be a fun game. I think everyone is going to be into this game, and I'm going to go super strong. I'm going Riders 32, Ottawa 14.
Oh, all right. Love it. A blowout at Mosaic tonight from the Green Zone's new prognosticator, the Green Zone, Jamie Locker and Shauna Foster.
Doesn't sound bad. You better go throw that Pat's wheels in Justin, though.
All right, Shauna, enjoy your Thursday watching a blowout win for the Rough Riders. And I know there's a lot of Oiler fans that hoping you go 2-for-2 with a 5-4 game 2 victory coming up for the Oil.
Oh, I hope so, you guys. And I'll be listening to the pregame show with you guys later on.
That is Shauna Foster. We'll see how the prediction 32-14 tonight and then 5-4. Oilers over the Panthers tomorrow. I like those predictions from the Green Zone prognosticator, Shauna Foster.
Both solid. Both solid.
I think so. If she's anywhere close.
Brought to you by DraftKings.
No, it's not.
Can you imagine?
Don't say that until they actually start paying us money. Okay. 5 o'clock is that Green Zone pregame show with Daryl Davis, Belton Johnson, and bets to be paid outside our door from Darren from Rosh Percy today. The steak bet has come to fruition on the Green Zone. I'm so happy I made that bet. We're eating well tonight. Meanwhile, we're asking for your prediction, your analysis, 1-877-332-8255. This is where you pick what you want to talk about. Do you want to talk about the Rider season? Do you want to look at what you believe is going to happen this year or maybe tonight against the Ottawa Redblacks? Or maybe you want to weigh in on last night's game, the Oilers and the Panthers. Game number one, what a hockey game by those two teams to open up the Stanley Cup Final. 1-877-332-8255. Scotty's hitting the button. The fan line's open right now to give us a call on 980 CJME and 650 CKLM. Jamie and Locker with you here on the Green Zone on this Thursday night. Sorry, I just got a text in. It's Thursday night football, and we've only heard them once.
Third and one from the gun underneath those Thursday night lights. Singing long live the night.
There you go. Now twice. More to come. Rec Laws, Thursday night football tonight. The Riders and the Red Blacks.
What's the rule with the song?
We've kind of embraced it as our own. And by the way, the Rec Laws are in Saskatoon. Party at the park
this weekend
with the Saskatchewan Hockey Heroes
Heart and Stroke Foundation.
Jeremy Roenick was on the show earlier this week. If you missed it, go check out the podcast. It was a great chat with JR. Dougie Gilmore is in. Brian Scrudland, Al Iafredi. So they are in town, as are the Rec Laws in Saskatoon for Party at the Park. But some Rider predictions. Kirk says, I couldn't get into green and white prognostications with Evan Bray. I'm going 31-20 for the Saskatchewan Rough Riders. DJ, 23-17 Riders. I think both teams are going to have trouble scoring touchdowns just like in the preseason. 1-877-332-8255 is the fan line here on the Green Zone. Meanwhile, John is saying, guys, I bleed green, but I think we have some questions in our lineup, especially the offensive line. So I believe that this year will be fourth. 8-10, missed the playoffs.
What?
Not sure about that. And then he adds on the goaltender interference issue. If the goalie's in the blue, zero contact on goalie, no exceptions. Once he's outside the crease, there can be contact. 1-877-332-8255. That's what Paul wants to talk about. Paul, you want to talk about goaltender interference from last night. What are your thoughts?
Well, I completely agree that it was goalie interference.
Thank you, Paul.
Give me an analogy, if I will. If you're standing in a line and let's say somebody in front of you just walks backwards and trips over your leg, would that be you tripping the guy or would that be the guy just tripping himself? Because the Oiler defender wasn't really moving and Bennett just backed up and then tripped over him and then landed on the goalie. So
I believe that would be called an accident, Paul, would be the word.
Yeah.
And those things are not goaltender interference.
Exactly. Well, no. I mean, it's an accident, but it's not our defender's fault. He was just standing there. It's Bennett's complete doing to why he didn't interfere. He tripped himself.
But it was the defender's skate that tripped him. That's the whole thing on that ruling. It was. Yeah. It doesn't matter.
But in the rule, it says if the defender pushes the... So what Paul's trying to say is that Wallman didn't do anything to put Sam in a position where he was falling. Sam put himself there. So he fell into the goalie.
Because Jake Wallman's skate tripped him.
And yeah. The act of falling into the goalie interfered with Skinner's ability to stop the puck, and they still let that one stand.
Yes, because Jake Wallman's skate trips Sam Bennett.
And then, you know what? And here's the problem I have with this, and this is the problem. And this is why you're calling, because you're confused, Paul. Everyone's confused. Everybody goes and reads the stupid rule again, and then I'm even more confused, and then you got somebody like Jamie pointing out something that it may or may not be in the rule. It's not clarified in... anyway, it doesn't even matter if last night was...
They won. What are you guys?
It doesn't even matter. I've tried to point that out. It's this conversation that's the problem, Jamie. Paul?
Yeah.
You've pointed out, you've highlighted exactly what's going on with this rule and why it's an issue and why they need to do something to clean it up. Because every coach and every pundit in the game is going, I don't know what it is anymore. Anyway, Paul?
Yeah.
Thanks for the call.
I got you.
But you just made it worse, though.
Look what you did. Locker's blood pressure. Like, his doctor's going to start calling here right away. He's so worked up about this. Paul, are you an Oiler fan?
A big Oiler fan, yeah.
So are they winning this thing? Like, Oilers in five? Do you like that prediction?
I'd love that prediction for them to win it at home. I don't know if they're going to do it because I had too many people telling me, oh, they got this in the bag. You know, they got this in the bag. And then they've just kind of done the commentator curse and they've just.
Are you hanging out with Jamie and I?
Not hanging out with me. Paul, thanks for the call. There's no commentator curse. Let's get back to the fan line. Dave, you have a top grade from last night's hockey game. What's your top grade?
Oh, you guys are having way more fun than us at Sportsnet. But, yeah, the top grade that I would say, I agree with the puck over the glass thing. Oh, God, let's not even go back to that. But top grade that nobody's talking about is with Zach Hyman out. Nobody's talking about the fact that last night, every single time Evander Kane was on the ice, he was absolutely pounding I'm not going to say it on the radio, but you know what I mean.
Yep.
Out of the Florida Panther
players.
And nobody's talking about how much he's stepping up when he came back after being injured for so long.
Dave, everyone's stepping up. That's why. You don't know who to highlight, right? Because that whole team is, they're all pushing the rock up at the same time. I mean, look at just David and Leon. Leon got two goals. But look at the passes for McDavid. Skinner. Brown had a decent night. Nuge.
It takes everybody to win a Stanley Cup.
Perry. Perry had a great night last night.
1-877-332-8255. Dave saying Evander Kane should get a top grade for last night's game.